Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I tell you, miracles restore us. Our lives, our situations, to God's intent. That's what we're believing God for here. God has called all of us to function in supernatural ministry. Overtly, that's power. Healing, deliverance. Covertly, it's wisdom. And I'll tell you, yesterday and today, yesterday, God just impressed upon me how much wisdom he's bestowing upon this church, but today he just doubled down on it. And this is transformational. These aren't just church services. This isn't another Sunday. This is us believing God to be revived. I was talking to Roger Walsh before church. Man, they get those paddles out. The revived people. People come out of the water and they push the water out of their lungs and they begin to breathe again. Man, they're spitting and they're revived. Well, this being 60 days long. And honestly, a lot of leaders in here are trying to get the heart of God on what we do beyond that. But I'll tell you, it at least knocks the cobwebs off. It at least brings flexibility and mobility into our lives. Power and wisdom from on high. I'll tell you, this has been an amazing experience for me so far. Just amazing. And I'll tell you, the devil doesn't make it easy on our lives. Man, there's going to be little irritations, little things that pop up. Man, I'll tell you, you've got to see beyond it. And what's interesting is, and again, Roger and I were talking about this. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. We learn that. And that's a learned behavior. And we begin to submit ourselves to God's word. And God's word begins to shape our lives. Begins to shape our ambitions, our desires. But then the next line is, and resist the devil. So honestly, submit yourself to God. Put everything in your life subject to His word, his plan, his purpose, and then resist the devil. And the Bible says he has to flee. I think a lot of times we're just, it doesn't come up that it's like, oh yeah, I'm just, and listen, we don't have to knock him in the head. He's already defeated. So all we have to do is just resist him. That's all it is. I resist the devil. I'm not going to respond like that. I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to ponder that temptation. I'm going to resist the devil. Some of you guys might resist the devil by giving. If you're worried about your finances, let me tell you something. That's the devil. How do you get out of the grip of the enemy on your finances? You give your way out. The Bible says that. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed out, shaken together, and running over. Let me tell you what that is. That's prosperity in our lives. Man, God's called you to be prosperous. God's called you to be in health. But listen, it's all determined by your soul prospering. Every bit of it. And if your soul's not prospering, you're not going to be in health, and you're not going to prosper in life. We are going to, I want you to ready your heart in the next probably 25 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Just everything you hear, it's to get your heart ready for what God wants to do at the end of this night in this room. It's going to be an hour long. That's it. I believe it's going to be solid gold. But ready your heart for what God wants to do in you. And as you do, grab a seat. You know, what this wisdom does, it accesses a lifestyle that God's called us to live. You know, there's lifestyle Christianity. What an amazing opportunity to see the goodness of the Lord. What's that verse, Psalm 27:13, Sandy? And when I think of this verse, I think of Sandy because probably 8 or 10 years ago, she grabbed a hold of this verse, and I did too. I would have lost heart if I hadn't have believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, this is an amazing opportunity for us right now to see the goodness of the Lord operative in our lives. And I'll tell you, this has been an amazing experience. The world's pulling back. A lot of churches are pulling back. Man, we had a prophetic word to go at a 60-day revival. And I got a subsequent word from that 60-day revival that the blessings, that there's going to be incredible business come out of this in people's lives. That there's going to be at least three people that are going to, God's going to bless super abundantly, that are going to bring incredible gifts in. And you know, as this happened, I started thinking about gifts. This is a wonderful time that we have to worship, isn't it? These guys just doing such an incredible job. And you know, there are times in this that the presence of the Lord for me is so strong that it begins to challenge me to move in it. You know, and nothing about our lives, nothing about our spiritual life, our mental life, our emotional life should be routine. Nothing. We need to get to the place where all of our agendas and all of our ambitions are shaped by God's word. See, it's not just for this to be faith building, God's word, as we receive it in our hearts, but that this truly begins to shape our agendas and our ambitions and our life. And as God's word is elevating us and shaping us, that, man, the agendas of our life shift. Our view shifts. You're going to find out as we go through these 60 days, all that's going to matter is this type of time we have with God. That's all that's going to matter. And I think that what I'm believing God, what I hope is going to happen, is this: we stop compartmentalizing this as a part of our lives. That we truly just dive in. We truly are just immersed in God, His presence, His Holy Spirit, His Word, His power, His love, His peace, His joy. And that we rediscover how amazing God is. I mean, how many of you guys have ever experienced just amazing God? Can I see your hands? Just how amazing God is. Well, this is a rediscovery of the amazing of God. You know, it's interesting because Jordan Vi's back on the stage, and you guys have seen her, and it's interesting because Wednesday night, I stand by Sandy, and what's hard probably for Sandy, and I don't know that this is actually true or accurate. I think it is, but she hears in perfect pitch. And I think Taylor's got a little of that too, because there'll be times where we'll be somewhere and people are singing and she'll go, oh, someone's off. And I act like I know what she's talking about. I act like I hear it as well. So I'll be like, oh yeah, I know, that's bad. And for me, usually I blame Brian, but it's probably inaccurate. It's a false accusation, Brian. But Sandy, Jordan was singing backup to Opetta. And right in the middle of the song, Sandy just went, wow. Just like that. Remember Sandy? She just went, like under her breath, she just went, wow. You know what I realized? That she heard something that I didn't hear. And Jordan, I'm sure, is great. But this is where I am with God right now. And what happens is God becomes this still small voice. It's almost like this. That in our lives, God begins to sing back up in the song of our life. And people that have ears to hear, man, it's wow. And it's interesting because God said in the Old Testament, he said, look, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Find that place of authority. And he and then the Lord passed by, and there was a great wind, and it tore into the mountains and it broke the rocks. That's how great the wind was. And the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and he wasn't in the fire. Listen, all of this stuff were things that were left in his wake. Okay, but then there was a still small voice. See, and that's who God is in our life. God's singing back up. And listen, when we're in harmony with God in our lives and we begin to hear his voice, it's wow. See, that's how I feel right now. I mean, I go back to God's omnipresent. God's everywhere. And then God's in me. Man, I've been knowing God's in me for 41 years, and I'm assuming God's everywhere. Because the Bible promises that he searches the whole world, and he's got his eyes on the earth. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. There's an inner presence. But listen, tonight God's going to bring a manifest presence. And that manifest presence is something that it almost is like we're feeling it. The manifest presence of God, where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm hearing God's voice audibly. And it's not like that you hear from God and then you turn and you say, did you hear that? No, but you're picking things up and you're in that wavelength that God's in. And the world is almost shut up to it. See, we're tapping into something very unique in my lifetime. Where we are right now. This isn't business as usual. This isn't just us. Man, this is a word of the Lord. God gave us a word to do a 60-day revival, do it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings, Saturday, and then Sunday. And Saturday, tomorrow, we're praying all day from 9 to 9. You come as often as you come. You come as long as you want. Man, you receive ministry if you need it. But we pray. Because the Bible says if we humble ourselves and pray, we turn from our wicked ways, God will heal our land. I'll tell you, for me, in the last month, yeah, it's probably been the last month or so, I've been so appreciative to God that I live right now. Everybody's lying. Everybody's deceptive. Everybody's got an agenda. We're kind of in the middle of it. But you know something? God's trusting his house and his kingdom with we who are on the earth serving him right now. This is a select group of people. And what we're tapping into is something so unique in my lifetime. There might be people in here that have served God longer than I have, or maybe experienced different church settings. But I'll tell you, the last almost 30 years, this is all I know. This culture's built for whatever. But I'll tell you, what's amazing about this right now, and it's why I believe God brought the whole aspect of wisdom into the equation of miracles last night, is because there's a unity in this church right now. And you know what God's doing is God's revealing giftings. And let me tell you, that's a part of revival in our lives. It's like when you're revived, or you come back to life. That's what being revived is. You come back to life. What happens is that, oh my gosh, there's a purpose for me to live now. I got to find that purpose. But let me just tell you how God does this. He reveals his gifting. He's revealing gifts in our lives. Man, and I'm telling you, I see it. People speak differently now. They do. People I talk to in this church, it's not a tone of voice, and it's not a vernacular, and it's not a new vocabulary. It's a different level. Spiritually, it's different. And there's a gifting that's being, I believe, revealed in people's lives. And you know, the Bible says if it's preaching, preach. If it's teaching, teach. If it's giving, give. If it's leading, lead. But I'm telling you, what God's doing collectively in our lives is he's revealing giftings in our lives. Some of them are brand new. Some of them, you've got to knock the dust off them. And in John 17, 22, the Bible says, I gave them my glory that they may be one. Man, the gifting on your life. And the first place I go is, God's given gifts unto men, first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Let me tell you, there's a unity of faith in this house right now. So Lynn didn't, now wait a second. If we back that up, what's happening? Ministry to the saints. Man, putting things together. We back up a little further, what is that? That God's given gifts unto man. Man, there's teaching gifts, and there's pastoring gifts. There's evangelist gifts. Man, there's prophetic gifts in this place. And the last thing we want to do is we don't want to mimic anybody else. See, how this starts is, follow me as I follow Christ. The things you hear me say, you say. The things you see me do, you do. But let me tell you, when you see now that, see, there's a mark that people in this church have thrown. And the Bible says that God will cause us to throw beyond the usual mark. That's what God will give us. And what we have to understand is the creation awaits. They're eagerly awaiting. There's an earnest expectation of the revealing of the sons of God. Now listen, you think about that. A son lives at his house. A son is raised by his father. A son is a part of the culture. The world is anxiously awaiting with earnest expectation the revealing of the sons of God. Not just people that know about God, See, we were once slaves, then we were servants, bond slaves, then we were friends, and now we're sons. See, when we break into that sonship, let me tell you, the curse of the law has absolutely no effect. And what Isaiah said in chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Let me tell you, the king died, and man, he looks up into heaven, and he's crying out to God, and he sees the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. Now listen, and his train filled his temple. And then you jump, that's verse 1. Verse 8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord. Here's Isaiah. He said, man, God's having a conversation in heaven. And he looks up and he sees the throne. And then 7 verses later, he hears God saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah, who wasn't a part of the conversation, said, here I am. Send me. Send me. I remember when, man, God gave me a vision of ministry. It was a church. It looked like a barn, but it was actually a church. It was in the middle of the woods, but that didn't matter. Except that's where in the 70s in rural Missouri, that's where you went and partied. But it was church for me. And God was being glorified. And then I realized that I was in Bible school and I needed to walk in ministry. And man, I didn't know enough. I'd only been a Christian a few months. I didn't know enough to be a teacher. I didn't have a bunch of people to be a pastor. I wasn't about to be prophetic. I didn't know the word. Apostolic right then, man, I was just getting my sea legs. But you know what? It bounced back. That term evangelist came up. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to win everybody I see to Jesus. And my Bible said, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'd say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And I'd start praying for somebody. And I'd say, man, pray with me. And they'd repeat with me. And once they said, I make Jesus Lord of my life, boom, I'm going to the next person. And there's people that challenged me and said, are those true salvations? I'm like, I don't know. But let me tell you. And then the more I did it, people started identifying. They said, man, you're an evangelist. And I'm like, at least I'm something. But I knew it was inaccurate. I knew even at that time when I didn't know anything, I knew that that wasn't accurate. And now I look back on it, the vision of ministry wasn't just to round up a bunch of people and just get them to confess Jesus and move on. No. It was a place that funneled people from wherever they were in the world to wherever God was in his house. So that's what this is. But I'll tell you, didn't know the word said this. I was doing what Timothy did that Paul told him to do, the work of an evangelist to make full proof of your ministry. Let me tell you, when revival takes in your life, that's going to start happening. This isn't about, yes, it's about getting people in that stream of blessing. But that's not it. God says, look, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Man, we're lifted God up now like we never have before. Why? To draw men to him. For us to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. I want you to have such an experience with the God who loves you and that you love, that you have to tell somebody. We can't be the majority of the body of Christ that doesn't even tell their friends about Jesus. We've got to wait for somebody to hit rock bottom, or we got to wait for This revival's got to add people to the kingdom, or I don't believe we've served our purpose. I believe everything points to that. It's that you get so full of God, you got to tell somebody. You got to help somebody with the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.